Welcome to season 2 of the To Health With That podcast, where we break up big health topics into small bites. I'm Amy, and this season I'll share all the tips, tricks, and hacks you need to get healthy with an MTHFR mutation in a step-by-step, week-by-week process. I can't wait. This week, it's another questions from listeners. These are my favorite. So I love it when listeners leave questions. The questions are always interesting and thought-provoking, and it helps me to understand what you're interested in. So if you have a question for me, please use the video ask feature at tohealthwiththat.com. I try to do at least one listener questions episode per quarter. So the first question was from someone labeled human, so who knows? But someone wrote in with the question, "Hi, what would be the best option for detoxing arsenic toxicity?" So great question, human. It probably goes without saying, but finding the source of all that arsenic is a great first step. Arsenic can come from drinking water, especially if you're on a well, contaminated food, and even some medications. But step one is always going to be to try to minimize or eliminate your exposure as much as you can. Arsenic does rely on the MTHFR enzyme in that it needs SAMe to be detoxified. So step two is going to be work on optimizing your methylation. Make sure you're getting all the B vitamins and the right dose of methylfolate or another methylation driver for your body. Arsenic also needs glutathione for detox. And so the GST gene SNP also has an effect here, especially GST01. So MTHFR and GST01 are both important in this situation. Anything that will boost your glutathione will help your body to eliminate arsenic, and that includes getting adequate selenium. There was a wonderful longitudinal study published in the journal Toxicology and Applied Pharmacology, and it showed that higher selenium status in people with chronic arsenic exposure due to their groundwater was protective against arsenic-induced skin lesions. Other things you can do to boost your glutathione levels include NAC, which I feel like I'm forever talking about. NAC, or N-acetylcysteine, along with selenium, is necessary to actually make glutathione. It competes with other proteins, so it's best to take on an empty stomach. You can also take a liposomal glutathione if you don't tolerate NAC, but it tends to be a little bit harder on the wallet. Boosting other antioxidants seems to help arsenic toxicity as well. Vitamins A, C, and E were all mentioned in the research, along with reducing factors that make arsenic toxicity worse, like cigarette smoking. So in short, make sure your folate status and methylation are in place, boost your selenium and glutathione precursors, and get your antioxidants. Above all else, avoid more arsenic. The second question comes from a listener, Claire. She says, "Hey, Amy."
"Hey, Amy. My name is Claire, and I have been sick most of my life. I got diagnosed with MTHFR C677 roughly 8 years ago. But before that, I got tested and had severe mercury poisoning and went through chelation therapy. That was 20 years ago. And I just started some adrenal treatment, and they found that I have it again. And I just keep thinking that the root cause of all this is MTHFR. So why am I not treating that? I know that I cannot take a lot of folate. I'm just highly sensitive to everything. Which level do you think I should?"
Amazing question, Claire. Honestly, I do think MTHFR is behind a lot of what's going on. The repeating mercury toxicity really drags your system down, and it sounds like it's been hard for you to get methylation drivers in there like the 5L-MTHF. I feel honestly like your best course of action would be to actually work one-on-one, simply because you have two big medical things, right? The mercury toxicity and the adrenal fatigue going on along with the MTHFR. And it's best to have someone like myself or another experienced practitioner looking at the big picture to make sure that you're getting the things that you need and not a whole lot of stuff that you don't. In a situation like that, doing it yourself can be a bit dicey, because with mercury toxicity, anything that actually pushes your body to detoxify, like balancing your methylation, is also a little bit scary for your body because there's some big bad toxins in there. So it has to be done gently and slowly over time. Chelation for mercury is obviously a great option if you have a dangerous level in your blood, but it's harsh, and it strips other minerals from your body, and so it isn't a great long-term solution. Thanks so much, Claire, for the question. And the third question today is about fibromyalgia. Dan writes, "Have you discussed fibromyalgia? I had it, but was able to reverse it. After a quick scroll through your podcast, I'm really interested to hear your thoughts about fibro and how it forms and if you think it can be reversed. Oh, I'm a 49-year-old male and former professional football player, so not your typical fibro sufferer." Yep, not the typical fibro sufferer at all. This is a great question, Dan, and honestly, it deserves an entire podcast season to itself, not a third of a show, but I'll offer some thoughts. Fibromyalgia can absolutely be reversed. You, Dan, are proof, and I've seen so many clients who've been able to master it and move on, and I love that. In terms of how fibromyalgia forms, there's so many theories, and as is the case in a lot of complex disease like autoimmunity or chronic fatigue, I think it's never really just one thing. I think there's always some combination, right? There are some gene SNPs that have been associated. The only ones we've talked about on this show is COMT. MTHFR, so far as the research has shown to date, is not linked. Other factors outside of genes that I believe play a role are neurotransmitter imbalances, past trauma, magnesium deficiency or excess calcium, any kind of toxicity or, you know, chronic exposure to a chemical, sleep deficit for sure, hormone imbalance, and especially not just sex hormones, but thyroid hormone as well, and inflammation. And as you can see, that's kind of a long list, and not every person suffering with fibromyalgia will have all of those factors, and some of them will have other disease processes that play in. This is mostly a connective tissue disease, and while we don't really understand why the connective tissue here becomes so reactive and congested, it's clear that it does. It's my belief that that has to be directly addressed. I feel like fibromyalgia is a whole person condition, and so things that benefit the whole person will work best, right? Instead of like targeted, this is for fibromyalgia, it's more like, this is for you as a human. That includes definitely finding and eliminating food sensitivities. That's huge in fibromyalgia, and I've seen big differences just with that one change. Balancing magnesium levels. For some people, for whatever reason, there's this chronic soft tissue and muscle tension that comes from a higher calcium ratio, and so getting that magnesium in there really helps to soften things up and smooth things out. Lots and lots of body work. I don't know about you, Dan, and I'd love to hear your story, but definitely what I've seen in my clients is that one of the most important features is actually physically getting in there and breaking up some of the tension and the connective tissue dysfunction around those trigger points. Balancing hormones, if that's a factor, that includes thyroid and adrenal hormones, working on sleep quality and quantity, and also neurotransmitters and maybe therapy if it's appropriate. The path is going to be different for everyone struggling with fibro, but it is really important to look at it as a combination of factors and not just a one-size-fits-all. So the person as a whole really needs to be addressed. Thank you guys so much for the questions. I really appreciate them. And thanks for listening today. Hey, I hope you're keeping an eye on courses.tohealthwiththat.com. I'm actually having some technical difficulties, so I apologize for that. But there is, waiting in the wings, a free MTHFR basics course that I would love for you to take. And let me know how it goes. I'd love some feedback there. Thanks.